Jesus said, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise." I ran into Joan Ray in the grocery store the other day, and I said I might mention her in the sermon, but I've decided not to. The parable of the 10 bridesmaids is about readiness. Be prepared, as the Boy Scouts would say. Preparation begins with the truth. Religious people seek the ultimate truth. And Pilate asks, what is truth? But in his case, it's a throwaway line. He is exasperated with Jesus' unwillingness to defend himself against his accusers. "Are you a king?" Pilate says. Jesus replies, "For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." So Pilate says, "What is truth?" For Pilate, truth may be optional. For Jesus, it is not. So far, I've struck out at the first two services. I'm going to give it one more try. They say insanity is keep doing the same thing over and over again with poor results. But does anyone here remember a 1950s television show called The Halls of Ivy, starring Ronald Colman? My, what a culturally deprived group. Colman played Dr. William Todd Hunter Hall, president of Ivy College. My parents, aunt, and uncle loved it. So much for the wisdom of age. I was about 11 or 12 at the time, and I thought it was dumb and boring. And I've checked it out recently, and it's dumb and boring. There was a lot of meaningless blather, but I did like the motto of Ivy College, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," or set you free. These were not the words of the screenwriter, but they were the words of Jesus as captured by John in verse 8:32. The other night I took Busy out to dinner, the spaghetti supper at Trinity. The election. Think about that, guys. You can take your wife out to supper once a month. The election polls closed while we were there, so politics was on the mind of many of us. We bewailed the highly partisan and nasty atmosphere infecting society these days. Bob Craycroft and I were talking, and he mentioned confirmation bias, a term I hadn't heard before. I looked it up, and the clearest explanation I found is this. Confirmation bias occurs when people filter out potentially useful facts and opinions that don't coincide with their preconceived notions. It affects perceptions and decision-making in all aspects of our lives and can cause us to make less than optimal choices. Like many of you, my votes last Tuesday were partly a result of confirmation bias. You and I probably differ on a variety of issues, but I want to mention two things that came up in a religious context on material that was handed out by one of the candidates. And religious issues are an area where I modestly consider myself something of an expert. One candidate's literature favored teaching creationism in the school and also promoting school vouchers, and this sort of jumped out at me. Creationism is the doctrine saying the book of Genesis is literally true and evolution is a hoax. Creationists believe the universe, the earth, and everything on the earth was made directly by God less than 10,000 years ago. On the other hand, an overwhelming number of scientists believe the earth to be more than 1 billion years old. Now, you can't say that that was just a math error, that discrepancy. Creationism is a narrow religious view and should not be taught in the public schools. That's what Sunday schools are for. Creationism is not science, but it's a religious doctrine based on a shallow reading of Scripture, which is usually called fundamentalism. It doesn't begin to emulate the teachings of Jesus, which depend on subtlety and irony and a full reading of the text, often in ways that are unsettling. Quoting a biblical verse has a lot in common with a soundbite, flashy perhaps, but no depth. Next, school vouchers are a way of using taxpayer money to support private and parochial schools, which are allowed to teach things like creationism. Let the churches pay for this. Like most of the founding fathers, I am against mixing politics and religion. It demeans both. Let's set aside confirmation bias and work to make public education better. Wouldn't that be a good thing to do? In order to be prepared for the future, we need good education. We need religious and political leaders who will tell the truth. When I go to the doctor, as painful as it may be, I tell her the truth. I don't hide what's wrong with me or poo-poo my problems. And I especially go to the doctor when I think something may be wrong with me. What's the point of calling in an expert if you're going to lie to him? Planning for the future involves listening to the experts. 47 years ago when I was in seminary, and after the early service, somebody came up to me and they said, I had no idea you were this old. And I said, 47? And but 47 years ago when I was in seminary, Terry Riley, a Peace Corps friend of mine from Montana, came to visit me in New York. It was New Year's Eve, and we went to Times Square. What else would we do? It was absolutely freezing, and I have to admit that it was my dumb idea. The good news was we had gotten going a little late, and so we didn't stay there very long. Afterwards, we went back to my room and talked. And very unexpectedly, Terry asked me to tell him about Jesus. And I know I bungled my response. And I've felt guilty about this ever since. We need to be prepared to dig deeper. The political parties got a message last week, I hope. What's the message to us as Christians? What do you believe about Jesus? Have you worked it out for yourself? For now, anyway. What would you say to someone who asked you? What would you say to someone who didn't ask? That's a bigger problem for an Episcopalian. But dig deeper, because you'll be very much pleased that you did. Jesus said, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. Amen.